Hello, and welcome to another episode of Southwest Ohio Full Court Press. I'm your host, Tony Peters. Thank you for tuning in on this Thursday evening. Well, if you've been following anything with our website and our Twitter handle or just anything high school basketball the last 2 weeks, you know that boys basketball tournament has tipped off and the sectional round is well underway. And by now, you've probably listened to Seth and I's our preview of the four division tournaments what we did about 2 weeks ago after the brackets were released. And so you know that obviously we had a lot of hot takes. We had a lot of predictions. And obviously now we're at sectional finals, a lot of them tipping off tomorrow. So I want to use this episode as an opportunity to kind of quickly go over, you know, where we're at currently, just some thoughts on some of the brackets. You know, there has been some upsets here and there, and then just kind of go from there. So we're going to kick it off, as always, in Division One. Starting in the Cincinnati 1 bracket, currently we have Moeller that has already made it to the sectional finals with two no-contest wins over Little Miami and Withrow. So Moeller didn't have to step foot on the court, and they're already in the sectional finals. They are awaiting the winner of Middletown and Mount Healthy that are playing tonight. Middletown took out Sycamore 64-54, and Mount Healthy took out Anderson 67-63 to set up that matchup. I believe I saw on Twitter that Middletown was either winning that game or was in that game. Regardless, though, you know, it's going to be hard to see the winner of that game being able to compete with Moeller. The only thing that could go in a negative direction for the Crusaders is they haven't played a game in a while, and the winner of this matchup will have played two games up to this point. So Moeller may find themselves a little bit sluggish to start that game out. But when you look at the talent they have, it is so hard to pick against them. Year in and year out, and really it's hard to see the Crusaders not making it to another district final. So that bracket looks pretty self-explanatory. The Cincinnati 2 bracket, though, is where we have a little bit of interesting factors. We've got Lakota West, the 11 seed, slated to play the 7-seeded Mason to send one of these teams to the district finals. Let's talk about the matchups that happened. Lakota West beat Kings 70-63 and then took out 4-seeded Fairfield 60-52 to advance to that sectional final. Big upset there with two GMC teams, but obviously not a surprise. Now, if you listen to me and Seth's episode on Division One, one of the comments we talked about was Fairfield would have to get through this matchup, probably with Lakota West, knowing they've played them twice in the regular season. And I believe they either beat Lakota West twice or split. Regardless, it's hard to pick with Fairfield. You know, their two best players were a junior and a sophomore. And that taking that first round bye is always very, very risky. And unfortunately, it just didn't pay off for Fairfield. Still a great team and definitely have a bright future for the next couple years. But for West, you know, they have a shot to go right back to the district finals after falling short a year ago. In the bottom half of the bracket, Walnut Hills advanced over Talawanda, and Mason beat West Claremont, setting up a matchup between the two of them, in which Mason won 49-45. Again, we kind of talked about that previously as well. Mason coming out of that GMC, slower-paced team. You know, you hold Walnut Hills under 50 points, you're going to have a good chance of winning that ball game. Not a surprise there to see Mason win. That Mason-Lakota West matchup, though, I mean, don't be surprised if this game is under 50 and that one as well. You know, Mason has only given up 65 total points in those two games against Walnut Hills and West Claremont. Definitely going to try to slow that pace down. And with a guard like Trey Killens, you know, they're going to really try to do the best they can to get into that district final, knowing that more than likely Centerville is who they're going to get, which we'll talk about here in a little bit. Cincinnati 3 bracket. The higher seeds have advanced so far in both of these. LaSalle and Lakota East slated to play one another. LaSalle took out Western Hills 69-63. That was an opportunity maybe for Western Hills to pull an upset, but obviously the Lancers were able to hold on. And then Lakota East beat Milford big 48-10. Milford had beaten Loveland, and Western Hills had beaten Western Brown to get into those matchups. That sectional final is going to be another really interesting one. You got a Lakota East team that, you know, not a bad year this year. Obviously, they haven't, in my opinion, been as dominant as they were a year ago, but they did lose quite a bit of players from that team. In LaSalle's case, they definitely lost a lot from that team a year ago. They were under 500 going into the draw. Will they give Lakota East a game? Sure. I mean, Aiden Schneider is one of the more physical players you're going to find. But Lakota East has so many guards. And Nate Johnson, Jaden Coles, Kobe Peck. So many guys that do so many things for that team. It's hard to see East losing, in my opinion. I think East will march on in this one. Cincinnati 4. We've got St. Xavier slated to play Turpin. St. X beat Goshen 75-45 and Coleraine 75-40. Turpin took a first-round bye, and they met up with Oak Hills. Oak Hills had beat Northwest 50-41. And then Turpin beat Oak Hills in an absolute slug fest. Emphasis on the slug aspect. 28-21 in overtime. That is not a typo. It was 14-13 at halftime, and these guys played yesterday, Wednesday the 24th. It's that's high school basketball now, unfortunately, in Ohio. The fact that Turpin kept that game low scoring, the fact that Turpin's not a bad team this year, it does kind of concern me with, is Turpin going to be able to turn around and kind of control the pace against St. X? Obviously, St. X with two dominating wins to start the tournament off, but beating Goshen and Coleraine, not really the most convincing wins in terms of you're not beating a high-caliber team, unfortunately. So it's going to be interesting. You know, now they got to turn around and play the 8 seed in Turpin. Will they be able to play their style of play? Are they going to be able to do what they want to do? Or is Turpin going to slow this pace down? And if they slow it down too much, can they get the win out of it? Our last Cincinnati bracket is the Cincinnati 5. We got Elder and Hamilton slated to play one another. Elder is winners over Harrison and Winton Woods. Hamilton took the bye and beat GMC rival Princeton with the upset for the Big Blue. For Hamilton, I've said it before, they are the most dangerous 12 seed you're probably going to find anywhere in the state of Ohio. They had to, unfortunately, forfeit the first half of the season due to an ineligible player participating in games. So they're still a really good team. And beating Princeton by 10 points is very convincing. They now get an Elder team that, you know, this Elder team knows how to score. And they know how to score in doses. Obviously holding two teams under 40 points while putting up, 60-plus on them. Andrew Harp's playing phenomenal right now. They're senior. They play tomorrow night, Elder and Hamilton. Hamilton, you know, as much as I like this team and I do think they're a dangerous team, this Elder group is really strong, and I think Elder is going to ultimately find a way to get it done. Moving into the Dayton bracket, this has been an interesting bracket here. Dayton 1, we had Franklin beat Stebbins 71-65, Northmont beat Tecumseh 58-40, and Wayne beat Piqua 85-46. In these sectional semifinal games, Lebanon beat Franklin 66-59. And Wayne beat Northmont 68-47. So tomorrow night, Wayne will play Lebanon to go to the district finals. In this bracket, I mean, not really a ton of surprises. The only one I guess would be a surprise is the fact that Franklin lost to Lebanon. I had some concerns when Franklin only beat Stebbins by 6 in their first game. You know, Franklin won that game, but they let Stebbins hang around a lot longer than I think they should have. And I knew playing Lebanon, it was going to be a different pace, but Lebanon was going to be a tough out. And it turns out that was exactly the case, as Franklin was down 10 at half in this one. Lebanon's Cam O'Connor had a phenomenal showing, and this Lebanon team just continues to roll. And, you know, I think a lot of people forgot about them this year, but their only losses on the year were to Miamisburg and Walnut Hills, so they don't have a bad loss on their resume. And frankly, they're getting a Wayne team that, you know, while Wayne has been phenomenal this year, again, kind of similar to what we were talking about previously with St. X, Wayne's wins over Piqua and Northmont haven't necessarily been convincing wins that really have prepared them for this matchup. Lebanon's going to play a lot different style than what they saw in Piqua and Northmont. Do I think Lebanon's going to win this game? No. I do think Wayne will win ultimately. They're clicking on all cylinders. I haven't seen a team yet this year that's been able to really locked down on Prophet Johnson. Lebanon's a good defensive team. I just don't know how they're going to do. I mean, you can put all your defense on Prophet Johnson, but then you got Laurent Rice and Malcolm Curry and Cam Fancher to deal with. Wayne's got too many guys. I think they're going to be able to get through this one. The Dayton 2 bracket. We had Springfield beat Springboro 87-57 in the opener, and then we had Fairmont beat Xenia 68-48. In the sectional quarterfinals, Springfield in overtime took out West Carrollton 101-99 in overtime, and Miamisburg took out Fairmont 57-49. So Berg and Springfield will be playing tomorrow for a trip to the district finals on the line. In this one, I did think that Springboro was going to upset Springfield. I was wrong. Springfield came to play in the second half of that game. Burrow was missing some personnel in that matchup. They just the data looked like Burrow could win that game, but ultimately the factors that needed to be there weren't. So Springfield advances, and then they beat a West Carrollton team. Hats off to West Carrollton, definitely keeping in that game. It's unfortunate because Pirates were not at full strength. They didn't have Alan Lattimore. We've talked about this. They didn't have Kadari, their big man. And Springfield, the big thing with them was, were they going to play like the Springfield that we know can compete, or were they going to struggle like they have throughout the year? And right now, it looks like Springfield's playing pretty solid. In the bottom half of that bracket, Fairmont's win over Xenia, no surprise. Fairmont, for a half, looked like they could beat Miamisburg and pull the upset. But ultimately, the Vikings, you know, they found a way to get Anthony Kopic involved after, you know, a very strong, or after a really quiet first half for Kopic. And then, unfortunately, Anthony Johnson found himself in foul trouble for Fairmont. Desan Doucette had a great game against a good defensive team like Miamisburg. And now it puts Miamisburg in a really interesting situation, because now they got to go face Springfield, who has two wins under their belt to Miamisburg's one. Are they going to be able to defend them? It's going to be interesting. Springfield's scoring, you know, almost 90 points. It's right around 90 points a game right now, this tournament. Can they keep them under that number? It's going to be interesting to see. Last bracket is Dayton 3 here in Division 1. We got Centerville, who beat Fairborn big, 80-49. Butler defeated Troy, 68-56. And Beaver Creek upset Sydney, 74-70 in the first round games. Yesterday's sectional semifinals, Centerville beats winless Belmont 78-28, and then Beaver Creek pulls their second upset, beating Butler 64-62. Very interesting bracket here. Centerville in the top, no surprise they breeze through their first two games. Beaver Creek coming out of the bottom, though, that is a very interesting kind of observation to see. They've won by a combined 6 points in both games. Beating Sydney didn't surprise me as much. I thought Sydney would win this, but Beaver Creek at full strength didn't surprise me. Them beating Butler surprised me. And they were leading for most of that game. Butler actually had a chance to come back and win it. They just couldn't finish it out, ending the career, unfortunately, of Tyler Monahue, who's been a phenomenal offensive threat for the Aviators over the years. Really, for Beaver Creek, it is hard, even though they're playing well right now, it is hard to see this team giving Centerville much of a challenge. You know, the Elks are playing extremely well. They were playing well leading into the tournament. They've clearly shown they are not going to let their foot off the gas in the tournament right now. Unfortunately, Centerville, I think, will continue this run. But Beaver Creek, I would say, at least out of the Dayton area brackets, Beaver Creek has probably the upset of the tournament thus far, getting to where they're at right now currently. Moving to Division 2, I did take a little bit longer time than I wanted on Cincinnati, so I'm going to breeze through the Cincinnati brackets here. In Cincinnati 1, you got McNicholas and Fenwick slated to face off. Only real surprise here, I mean, Fenwick blew out Blanchester, 63-26. Batavia took out Aiken, 79-72. We thought Aiken would win that game. Just kind of goes to continue to show Aiken just wasn't a good team this year, unfortunately. And then Fenwick went on to beat Batavia after that. They get that GCO co-ed rematch with McNicholas. We're hoping to be at that game, covering it for our site on Saturday over at Mason High School. And then the Cincinnati 2 bracket, the only kind of surprise here, Baden upset Roger Bacon in the first game, but then got beat by Wyoming. Woodward is supposed to be facing Wyoming in the sectional final there. Again, Woodward has blown through their first two games, beating Norwood and Bethel Tate, well over 40-plus point wins in both of those. Woodward, we continue to think, is going to be the one that ultimately makes the district final of this bracket. Moving into the Cincinnati 3, again, you know, we had a local team here, Monroe. They pulled the upset of the bracket. They beat Taylor 50-49. Definitely didn't see that coming. I definitely thought Taylor bringing back all the talent they had from a year ago, they were going to get that win. And obviously they knew that they were going to be getting Indian Hill, who is they're both CHL teams. So Monroe obviously spoiled that, but then they could not beat Indian Hill, falling 58-41. Indian Hill and Ross meeting up with each other then to determine the district finalist. In the Dayton bracket, starting in the Springfield, really interesting scenario here. We have got on the top half, Graham beat Bellbrook 46-40. No surprise there. Tip beat Eaton 71-51. And then Tippecanoe beat Graham 64-50, putting the Red Devils into the sectional finals. Bottom half of the bracket, Dunbar beat Northwestern 81-49. No surprise there. Carroll beats Thurgood Marshall 46-34. A lot of people thought Thurgood was going to pull the upset here, but Carroll takes care of business. In the sectional semifinals, Carroll upsets Dunbar 51-38, holding the Wolverines, who were scoring over 60 points a game or averaging 60-plus points per game going into the tournament, holding them to 38 points. That is how Carroll wins basketball games, and that has to be a program-defining win for Coach Tim Cogan and his squad. And now they have a chance to now take on that. Dunbar was the 3 seed. They now have a shot at the number 2 seed. And I'll be honest with you, Tippecanoe's 2 tournament wins so far, I'm not that impressed. Being the 2 seed, beating the 22 seed by 20 points, but giving up 51, and then only beating Graham, the 15 seed, by 14 points and giving up 50. I don't know, guys. If Carroll can keep that game low scoring like they did against Dunbar, I think Tip will win ultimately. But if I find out Carroll won this game and it's low scoring, I would not be surprised by that. Moving to the Dayton 2 bracket, a few kind of surprises here. Trotwood taking care of Urbana 77-54 after Urbana had beaten Greenville 47-31. Bottom half of the bracket, Oakwood beats Waynesville 70-57. The surprise of the bracket, Northridge beats Milton Union 64-29. We had thought Milton Union was going to come out of here. They were playing pretty well leading up to this tournament game. And Northridge had beaten them twice in the regular season, but ultimately the Polar Bears are able to beat them for a third time and do it in dominating fashion. Oakwood then beats Northridge in a low-scoring matchup, 47-45. Lumberjacks did not play exceptionally well in that game, and honestly, I was a little bit surprised by the margin of victory, but they get the win. That's all that matters in the tournament, giving the Jacks a shot at Trotwood to go to the district finals. And I'll tell you what, folks, Oakwood could give Trotwood a challenge. You know, this is not the same Trotwood team as we've seen the last 2 to 3 years. Even if Trotwood beats Oakwood tomorrow night, there's no guarantee they're going to beat the district finalists, because they're going to play either McNicholas or Fenwick. So it's going to be really interesting what happens here in this bracket. Dayton 3, Alter advances. They've beaten Bell Fountain 70-26, Valley View 58-30. Bottom half of the bracket, CJ beat Kent Ridge 63-43. Ben Logan blows out Ponitz 72-50. We thought Ponitz was going to win this game. The Golden Panthers were missing some personnel from the regular season. Unfortunately, they were unable to win that game. Plus, they are a relatively young team. Benjamin Logan does have Trey Allen. We thought he was out with an injury, so having him back was helpful too. But then ultimately, CJ absolutely demolishes Ben Logan 74-29. Setting up that GCO co-ed matchup between Alter and CJ, part 3, to send someone to the district finals. Hard to tell who's going to win this game, because CJ is playing very well right now. Alter is shooting the lights out of the ball right now. Last time these two teams played, CJ won by 1. The time before that, Alter had beaten him by 22. Alter doesn't have Ryan Chu now. CJ's freshman guard, Jonathan Powell, is playing well. There's a lot of factors going into this. And ultimately, Seth and I had a problem picking the winner of this game, and for good reason. So hard to tell who's going to win that one, but a great GCL rematch nonetheless to determine that district finalist. Moving to Division 3, we have got, again, going kind of through Western Brown brackets, Cincinnati 1 bracket, played at Western Brown. Taft got a forfeit win over Deer Park and then beat Seven Hills 67-18. Yes, that is the correct score. And then they're getting Claremont Northeastern. Claremont Northeastern upsetting 10-seeded East Clinton 49-47. The Jets are the 18 seed. They play Taft on Saturday. It's going to be hard for Northeastern to beat Taft. We've talked about it on almost every tournament show you listen to. Taft is the favorite. Cincinnati 2, Middletown Madison pulling a big upset, beating 12-seeded Madeira 40-34. Fortunately, the Mohawks could not pull out another win. They fought at Summit Country Day 52-38. Lower part of that bracket, Georgetown won, so Summit's playing Georgetown. Hard to see Summit losing this game. They look like they're on their way to a district final as well. Cincinnati 3 bracket, CHCA and Marymount are going up against one another. CHCA beat North College Hill 83-39, Marymount beating Gamble Montessori 53-42. Do not be surprised if Marymount pulls the upset in this one. I know in our bracket show we took CHCA, and I'm going to stick to it right now, but I'm just going to say I would not be surprised if Marymount pulls the upset here. In Cincinnati 4, speaking of upsets, Greenview beat Finneytown 45-28. Purcell Marion beats Riverview East 67-42, but then the big one, Purcell upsets Cincinnati Country Day 58-53. Cincy Country Day was a team we expected to get to the regional tournament, so surprised to see them take an early exit. For Greenview, we are hoping that them being the local team, they can get to the district finals, but man, do they have an interesting matchup with Purcell Marion. Makes you wonder, is Purcell clicking at the right time, or is Greenview going to be able to hold them off? If Purcell could beat Cincy Country Day, good chance they're going to be able to handle Greenview too. Going to be interesting to see how that one goes. In the Dayton 1 bracket, Anna and Meadowdale are slated to play one another for a sectional final. Anna beat Mechanicsburg 67-52 and then beat Northeastern 62-47. Meadowdale with dominating wins over Triad 68-37 and Carlisle 54-43. We said it on the preview show, Meadowdale has just looked good against D3 teams this year. These scores reflect that. A little bit surprised Anna hasn't dominated as much as we thought they would. I still stick by what I've said. Meadowdale will win this game. It'd be great to see Greenview beat Purcell Marion, because that winner will play the winner of this game. It would guarantee a Dayton team in the regional tournament. In the Dayton 2 bracket, these games are going on tonight. Versailles defeated Dayton Christian. They're in the sectional final. They'll be facing Preble Shawnee. Shawnee with a big win over Covington. Versailles had beaten Arcadum 42-34, and then they beat Dayton Christian tonight. You know, interesting scenario here. Versailles obviously playing exceptionally well. We talked about it in the pre-tournament show that they've played a lot of bigger schools than them. They play in the Midwest Athletic Conference. They beat each other up. Beating two seeds higher than them, it's extremely impressive, but you're getting a Preble Shawnee team that Mason Strout's a player these guys have not seen this year. And it's concerning to me that Preble Shawnee has a freshman as one of their top players. And I'll be honest, the way Versailles is playing right now, I would not be surprised if Versailles gets an upset here. I think Preble will find a way to win, but it is not going to be an easy one. The Dayton 3 bracket, this has been an absolute nightmare if you're keeping track of games you picked. Indian Lake has pulled two upsets thus far. Beat Brookville 46-44 and then beat Greenan 51-45. Greenan was our take to make it out of this bracket. And then West Liberty Salem with a dominating win over 4-seeded Miami East 70-51. We did call this game, we did predict this game to go this way. West Liberty Salem's been a thorn in everybody's side this year, and they now get the 12-seeded Indian Lake Lakers. It's going to be interesting to see who comes out of this, but ultimately, it doesn't really matter who wins this game because the winner is going to be facing Taft more than likely, unless Claremont Northeastern pulls the upset of the tournament. And I don't see either of these teams being able to hang with Taft. And last but not least, a Dayton 4 bracket. We had Stivers take out Bethel 60-37 in their first game. Stivers was playing National Trail tonight, came from behind to win that one 54-40. Springfield Shawnee was playing Dixie. I believe Shawnee was either winning or has won that game. I don't have that in front of me. Assuming Shawnee won, they'll be getting a Stivers team that You know, I think Stivers' wins over Bethel and National Trail are good wins for the program, but Shawnee's not going to lose this game, I don't think. And the fact that Stivers struggled a little bit with National Trail tonight tells me Shawnee's going to probably be a problem for them. So I expect Shawnee to pull the win out in this one. Last but definitely not least, we will do Division 4 quickly. We have got in the top half of the bracket for the Taylor bracket, we've got Ripley taking on Fayetteville Perry. Ripley with wins over St. Bernard, 59-44, and then an upset over Cincinnati Christian, 72-70. Fayetteville took out Lachlan, 60-50, and then took out Felicity Franklin, 47-33. For these two teams, it's a matchup between two Shaq schools out of the Southern Hills Athletic Conference. For those of you who don't know where that is, because we are from Dayton, it is in Adams County, which is in southeast Ohio, about an hour and a half to 2 hours from here, mostly Division III and IV schools. So two conference rivals going up against one another for the right to go to the district finals, where they will likely be meeting a very strong powerhouse in either Botkins or Fort Loramie, which we'll be talking about shortly. Bottom half of that bracket, Cincinnati College Prep, who beat Oilers 84-62. They were playing Miami Valley Christian tonight. They did win that game. I do not have the final score in front of me, but they did win that. And then New Miami was playing Middletown Christian following that game, which I do believe New Miami either has won or will win. If that is what ends up happening, it'll be New Miami and Cincy College Prep. It's going to be hard to pick a winner in this one. It's two of the best teams in Cincinnati in D4. In the Piqua bracket, Piqua won. Ansonia defeated Riverside 54-42, and Botkins beat Bradford 63-45. In the sectional semifinals, Fort Loramie took out Ansonia 51-37, and Botkins with a dominating win over SCAL opponent Houston 70-28. Setting up a Botkins for Fort Loramie round three to send, one of these teams to the district finals. I picked Botkins to win this game. Seth agreed with me. Botkins was our favorite to win. But at the end of the day, if Fort Loramie finds a way to win this game, it won't be a surprise. They've been here before. They're well coached. They know how to play well. They played one of the hardest schedules you're going to find for a Division IV school to prepare them for this moment. But we do think Botkins has the players this year to do it. They were here a year ago. They fell short. I think they're going to get it done. In the Piqua 2 bracket, we had Rushi defeat Newton 67-56. Layman Catholic took out Troy Christian 36-32. And then Jackson Center beat Mississinewa Valley 53-19. While I'm on this podcast, I'm going to check real quickly because these two games were going on tonight. I know Matt Bowman from Miami Valley Hoop Vault was doing some live tweeting of this game. Shout out to Matt. Does a really good job for those guys. Jackson Center beat Fairlawn 50-35. That put them in their matchup. And then Rushi upset Layman Catholic 45-32. So we got Rushi playing Jackson Center to go to the district finals. Interesting thing there. Rushi, we had Layman winning against Troy Christian and Newton beating Rushi. So the fact that Rushi's playing in this sectional final kind of tells me that Seth and I got this one way wrong, unfortunately. But they're going to be running into a Jackson Center team that's exceptionally well. They play so well in the tournament. I don't know if I see Jackson Center losing this game. We'll see what happens. In the last bracket, we have got the Troy bracket. Troy won. Tri-Village advanced with no contest over East Dayton Christian and then slammed Southeastern 69-24. Legacy Christian beat Emmanuel Christian 63-46 and then advanced to play Franklin Monroe and won 54-47. So Legacy Christian and Tri-Village meeting up. Ultimately, Tri-Village is undefeated for a reason. I don't see the Patriots losing any time before the district finals. Now, that district final game could be a different story, assuming they beat Legacy Christian tomorrow night. They'll be either getting Cincinnati College Prep or New Miami. Interesting to see what happens there. The Troy 2 bracket to wrap this thing up. Cedarville defeated Miami Valley 58-17 and then beat Twin Valley South 68-40. Springfield Catholic Central beat Tri-County North 79-49 and then beat Yellow Springs 64-40 to set up a part three between Cedarville and Catholic Central. We took Cedarville to win this game. But I'm telling you guys, I could see Catholic Central giving Cedarville game. It could be a lot tighter than people think. So that quickly kind of goes through where we are at in terms of what to expect in the sectional tournament as well as sectional finals. A lot of those games happening tonight and tomorrow. Excuse me, tomorrow and Saturday. I was thinking tonight was Friday. So hopefully this guide keeps you guys up to date with where we're at. Make sure you tune in to Southwest Ohio Full Court Press. We will be tweeting updates from the games tomorrow night over at Trent Arena. Again, those matchups are Trotwood, Madison, and Oakwood, and Alter, and CJ. And more than likely, we'll be at Mason High School on Saturday morning to watch Woodward and Wyoming, and then Fenwick and McNicholas in their rematch. In addition, we'll be doing a regional tournament preview once that the district finals are completed this next weekend. Not this weekend, but the following weekend. Unfortunately, I will not be in town for it, so I will not be tweeting updates. Seth may be tweeting as a result. Make sure you tune in for that. Again, we thank you for your support up to this point in the year. It's been a very interesting season because of COVID, but I'm just thankful that we're still playing right now. And these kids, it sounds like, are going to have an opportunity not only to play for a state tournament, but we may get to see some fans in the stands at UD Arena at the state championships in third weekend of March. So for Tony Peters, for Southwest Ohio Full Court Press, this is Tony Peters. Thank you guys for tuning in, and we will talk to you guys soon. Have a good night.